But let's jump right into the Word of God today. I've got a word for you today. How many people are ready for the Word? All right, so I got a word for you. And you should have got the notes when you came in, and they would have been handed to you as well. You can also get them on brendanwitten.com. One thing I just want to mention as well, just so you know, some cool opportunities we have. Part of our vision here at Toronto City Church and part of our passion is to be a blessing to the body of Christ at large. And so, just so you're aware today, there's a church called Surf City Church here in our city. Anyone heard of Surf City Church in Toronto? Great church. Pastor Andrew and Chantel Beresford, wonderful couple. Last week, they spent their first Sunday in their new facility that God blessed them with in Pickering. And so, why am I telling you that this? Well, number one, we want to celebrate friends and family and church family members. But also, we got to sow $1,000 into helping them get into that facility as a church family. So, come on, we can praise God for that. Right, because we're about kingdom, amen, and we're about helping others and being a blessing. Also, this past weekend, we had an opportunity to open up our facility to Transformation Canada, and they did a conference here. And so there was a conference here Friday night and Saturday. It was an amazing time, and we were super honored to have Dr. Ed Silvoso standing and preaching in this pulpit. So if you're not familiar with Dr. Silvoso, he's a leading thinker and a leading voice on change and transformation and just what the kingdom of God can do and the impact it can make. And so, again, I just share those things with you because we've got a vision that's really wanted to be kingdom-focused. Amen? Amen. I'm looking forward to when we can like pay churches mortgages in a month and just help churches get established and missionaries. Amen. And I love the fact that we can open up our facilities for things like Transformation Canada to come and for people to be blessed. Amen. Because there's people in here all weekend long getting blessed by the Word of God. And so that's an opportunity we have. And so we're just going to dive into the Word. We're talking about legacy. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm building a legacy. And we're talking again, we're continuing our series on legacy, so let's pray, and then we're going to jump right into our content. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be here, the opportunity we have to dig into your word, the opportunity we have just to receive from you. And Lord, we thank you for just this whole element and concept of legacy. Lord, we thank you for kids and the next generation that we're raising up, like Zari, who's cheering me on already. Father, we thank you so much for just what you are building, God. And Lord, I pray even today as we have some opportunity to dig deeper into your word, Lord, that you are going to just instruct us and teach us. And Lord, that our vision's going to expand, our heart's going to expand. And we just thank you for all this. We yield to what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right, for time's sake today, I'm not going to walk through our prophetic roadmap for 2019, but it is there in front of you on your notes, and I just want to remind you of this. We want to keep it in front of us this year. We want to keep advancing. We want to keep growing in what God is doing. That's why I was so excited about the Transformation Conference, for example, because it was talking about revival. You know, Fatine was here, and she was talking about the upcoming elections and some things that God wants to do. It's part of our vision, even believing this year, for God to really impact our national elections and impact what he wants to do, that we're growing in prayer. And so I just want to encourage you, make sure you're reflecting on those things and reviewing those things that we're continuing at. But today I want to continue our series on legacy, and I want to talk to you is what we're building. Someone tell your neighbor what we're building. And the point of this, or the heart behind this message, is as you know, we've been talking about legacy, and we're talking about what God's calling us to build. How many of you were here for the message last week? If you're here for the message last week, you can go online, you can get the MP3 if you missed it. But we were talking about being builders. And so our core text that we started with was Matthew 16:18. It says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Everyone say, build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I want to focus on the phrase. Jesus said, I will build my church. And so last week we took time to focus on and to reflect on the heart of Jesus and the passion of Jesus to build his church. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And so we talked about you and I joining Jesus in building his church as well. We talked about the universal church that was around the world and that Jesus is building his church. But we also talked about the expression of the local church, the expression of church like we're gathered here today. We are part of the universal church. We are part of what God's doing, but we are also gathered as a local church. And we're gathered here together today. And so we talked about having the heart of a builder. We talked about having the heart as men and women who say, I'm here to build. I'm here to build the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to build the church at large. And that's why we want to do things like open our doors for Transformation Conference or sow into a church like Serve City Church, because we want to build the larger church. But there's also a heart that God wants to build in us and in you that says, yes, I want to be a builder. Someone tell your neighbor today, I am a builder. And so I won't repeat last week's message, but we did talk about that we don't want to be spectators. We don't want to be feed me Christians, where our focus all the time is just feed me, feed me, feed me. What you got for me today, Pastor? And we don't want to be armchair quarterback Christians who sit back and criticize and say, well, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. Are we a perfect church? No, we're not a perfect church. Do we have lots of work to do and growing to happen? Yes. But we want to be builders who roll up our sleeves and say, I want to be part of the solution. Amen? So someone just say it again. Tell someone else around you. Say, I'm a builder. And so we've been talking about this element of legacy, because legacy is something tangible that we build, that we pass on to the next generation. And that's really the heart of this entire series. I want us to dream together. I want us to meditate together. I want you to get stirred up in your heart regarding what God has called us to build. I want you to get stirred up in your heart regarding the place that God has for you in what He is building here at Toronto City Church. Every person matters. Every person has a purpose. Every person has a part in what God is doing here at Toronto City Church. And so we catch this heart of builders. But today I wanted to bridge it a little further along the road. Because if we're going to be builders, how many know we need to know what we're building? How many know it's difficult to build if I don't know what I'm supposed to be building? Right, it's kind of like trying to do Legos without any instructions. I don't know if anyone has kids who have Legos, or maybe you're a big kid and you still like doing Legos, or wherever you might be. I do like Legos. I enjoy Legos. My son was into them for a while. He's kind of got out of that phase. But my daughter's starting to get into it now. Her Legos are a little different, but we get into the Legos. But you know, when you have the instructions and you know what you're building, how many know it makes a whole lot more sense than when you just have a bunch of blocks and everyone's just trying to figure out what we're supposed to do? And so we're going to take some time this week and next week, and we're going to talk about some key elements of what we're trying to build. What are we trying to build? What is the legacy that we want to leave? And I want to share some things. And obviously, we've been here as a church for 31 years, so I'm not preaching this as if we've never done any of it. I actually want to affirm what we've built, affirm what God has done, but also call us to carry the heart of builders to continue to build and to take it forward. And so today I want to talk to you about two key elements of what I believe we're called to build. Two key elements of what I believe are the legacy that God wants us to leave. And the next week we're going to talk about two more. But today I want to talk to you about two things that we are building, two things that we are going to pass to the next generation, two things that we believe God is calling us to establish here, and so that it can be a blessing to multitudes of many. And so the first thing that we're building is we are building a family. Everyone say to your neighbor, we are building a family. So look at 1 Timothy 3:15. This is from the God's Word translation. And it says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. Everyone say, God's family is the church. And if you hang around here long at Toronto City Church, this is not going to be a new concept to you, because we've talked about it and preached about it and prayed about it. But when we're talking about what we're building, I want to bring it right back to you, and I want to bring it right back to the forefront that God has called us first and foremost, above all else, to be family. Someone look at your neighbor and tell them today, we are family. And resist the urge to sing. I see a couple of you going to sing already. Resist the urge to sing. Just tell them, we are family. Why? Because God has called us to be family. I want you to know today, and I want to remind you once again, that we are not just called to be a charity, to be an organization, to be a loosely affiliated group of people who happen to gather for an hour or two on Sunday morning. But God has called us, and God has made us to be family. In the New Testament, the primary revelation of God is that of Father. He could have revealed himself as so many different things. He could have revealed himself in so many different ways, but he chose to reveal himself as Father. And Jesus chose to be revealed as the Son. To even to this day, we know as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And not only is Jesus the Son, but God says, when you come to know me, when you give your life to me, I actually actually adopt you into my family, and I become your father. And you now, by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, can cry out, Abba, Father. You can cry out to your father. God said, I want you to be my children. I am going to be your father. You know, let's think about this. It's amazing when you think, God didn't have to do that. Right? He could have just said, you will be my followers. He could have just said, you'll be my disciples. He could have just said, you'll be my worshipers. He could have just said, you will join my who knows what. But he said, no, I actually want to bring you into family. God said, I'm going to be your father. And so God said to Victoria, you're my daughter. God said to Sean, you're my son. God said to Yasmin, you're my daughter. God said to Timotheus, you're my son. And see, if we are sons and daughters of God, then if God is my father and God is your father, that means we are now brothers and sisters. We are family. Resist the urge to sing. We are family, and God is a sing and dance. All right, I see it over here on the front row. We are family. God has called us to be family. He's made us to be family. And so what we want to do is, first and foremost, if we're talking about what are we building, we are building family. God has called us to build family, to build this together. I've said this to you many times, but I'll say it again. Guys, the people out there, outside these four walls, that God has called us to love and have a heart for and to reach, they are not looking for something to do on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. Right? They're not out there going, man, I just wish I had something to do on Sundays at 11:30. I just love to get up and get dressed and go somewhere. They're definitely not looking for something to do Sundays at 9 a.m. at first service. Right? They're not looking for religion. They're not looking for some kind of just I just feel like I need a religion in my life. They're not. But I'll tell you what they are looking for. They're looking for their father. Even if they don't know how to articulate it, even if they don't know how to say it, they're looking for their father and they are looking for family. And so what God is calling us to do is he's calling us to, quote that old movie, build it and they will come. Field of Dreams. If you remember that, it's a little bit older now. But if we build it and we build family, what happens is people don't even know what they're looking for. But when they come into the atmosphere of family, they come into the atmosphere of the family of God, they start to experience God as their father. They start to experience true brotherhood and true sisterhood. And they start to experience it. It marks them and it changes them. There is so many people right now, they're not going to be impacted by the words we say, even though there's power in our words, as much as the love that we show. And it's the love that is going to be showed in being family. Someone tell your neighbor, we are family. What is family? Well, family, first and foremost, is a place of belonging. Now, let me say this today, because when we use the word family, that has different contexts for different people in this place. For some of us in here, family was a very positive experience for us. And so it's a very natural gap for us to bridge to say, okay, I'm part of the family of God. That makes sense, because family has always been very positive for me. But you know what? There's others in here, and if we're honest, family hasn't been a good experience for us. Maybe father wasn't a good relationship for us. But I want to encourage you, what we need to do is make sure that we don't filter the family of God through our family experience, but we allow the family of God in our lives to be the defining experience of what this is all about. And so first and foremost, family is a place of belonging. Guys, God wants Toronto City Church to be a place where people can belong. Now, I know that might sound simplistic, and I know it might sound kind of, oh, they're just kind of nice. Oh, yeah, a place of belonging for people. But listen, everybody needs somewhere where they belong. Everybody needs somewhere where they are part of something that's bigger than themselves. That's what God called family to be. You're part of it. Whether you like it or not, whether anybody else likes it or not, you are part of family. It is a place of belonging. And there's so many people right now in our world that have nowhere to belong. They have nowhere where they have relationships and those connections. Do you know, I was just reading, actually it was interesting, I literally just saw it online this morning. There was a quote that talked about loneliness has a greater negative impact on you than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's what it talked about. It said it actually is the Surgeon General who was saying there's greater negative impacts. And how many people, and even though we live in the most connected generation in history, it is the most disconnected generation in history. And there's so many people that are crying out for real relationship, real community, real family. And that is what we want to be. We want to be a place where we say to people, hey, you can belong here. There's a place for you here. You don't have to fit a certain mold. You don't have to look a certain way or act a certain way or be like a perfect Christian, but there is a place for you to belong here. Why? Because this is family, and God is throwing open the doors wide of his family saying, come in, sons and daughters. I want you to be in my house. Jesus said, what did he say? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go and I prepare a place for you. And so we know that's what it's going to be like in eternity, but why wait till we get there? Why not be people who say right now, hey, this is our Father's house, and there is room for everybody in the Father's house. This is a place for you to belong. This is a place for you to be. Family is a place of belonging. Everyone say belonging. Secondly, family in God's plan is a place of security. See, when you're in family and it's by God's design, you can be secure there. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to feel like, well, I don't know. Will I be accepted? Can I be? You know, when you're in a healthy family, you're you. You might be a little crazy. You might be a little strange. You might be a little weird. But I was just like, hey, it's just, this is family. This is how we do it. Right? This is how we go. But there's a place of security. You know, it's amazing, even in watching like the development of, when they talk about, you know, sociologically and development of children and so on. There's some, you can see a child when they're secure. Right? And it's interesting because they've talked about even sociologically, when a child is in an environment where they don't feel secure, where there's lots of arguments and fighting or abuse or things that are going on, that it shows up in all kinds of strange ways. Do you know that most of the mess we see in the lives of people is not because they're just there trying to do wrong, but it's because they don't know their father and they don't have security. And because they don't have security, it shows up in all kinds of weird ways in their lives. But when they get introduced to family and they get introduced to the family of God, and there's churches like what our church wants to be, where we say, hey, we're going to work at building family. We're going to build a table where there's space for everybody around the table. This is a place where you can belong. This is a place where you can be secure. There is a place for you here in this family because God's your father and because God wants to welcome you into family. We are family, and in family you can be secure. Everyone say security. Number three, family is a place not only where you belong, not only where you're secure, but it's also a place of identity. My name is Brendan Witten. Witten was my family name. Brendan was my given name. I got that from my parents, and it was established in me as I grew up in family. See, part of our heart is to see people know their identity in Christ, know their identity in who God's called them to be. I want you to know who you are in Jesus, and I want you to know who he's made you to be and what he's called you to. All that is identity. Well, identity is formed in God's perfect will in family, and it's not as much taught as it's caught. You just know, this is my family, this is who we are, this is what we do. There's so many people who have no clue who they are. And it's going to be in the context of spiritual family that they start to understand who they are in Jesus. But will we be the people who say, okay, we're going to pay the price to build family? And so we see that it's a place of belonging. It's a place of security. It's a place of identity. It's also a place of destiny and purpose. Let me get on my soapbox for a little bit. You have great destiny and purpose in God. You were born for more than to go to school, to get an education so you can get a job, so you can make money, so you can buy a house, get a spouse, get 2.5 kids and a dog, and then retire and die. God put more inside of every single one of you, and there's always going to be something inside of you that's unsatisfied until you start living in the purpose that God has for your life. There's always going to be something inside of you that says there's more. And there's so many of you in here, I just want to declare to you today, there is more. There's more that God's called you to. There's more that God has for you. And our job is to be a launching pad for you to move into destiny and purpose. Why? Because we're family, and that's what family does. Family grows children up into their destiny and purpose. You know, we were saying this morning, little Zoe Kenga, Pastor Samuel's daughter, was here on the front, and her dad's in leading worship. He's up here doing the transition. She came running over the stage and was like, pick me up, pick me up. But, you know, I laugh because we're building a spiritual family where Zoe Kengas can grow up into what God's called them to. See, because you have to grow up into it. Right? You're not going to get it right away. I feel, who knows, one day I can see Zoe being a worship leader, and she's up here just worshiping Jesus, and her daddy will be down on the front row or something. Well, you know, she's not ready yet because she's 1 and a half, but she's in family where she can grow up. And when you build a family, it's a place where people grow up into their purpose and their destiny. You have a purpose and destiny. You need to grow up into that. You need to mature in that. How does that happen? It happens in family. And so in this family that we're building, we want to be a place where people find their destiny and their purpose. Psalm 68, verse 6 says this: God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God sets the solitary in families. What if God today was looking? The Bible says, you know, he looks to and fro throughout the earth. What if he's looking to and fro throughout Toronto, saying, where are some families that I can set some solitary people in? Where are some families where I can take some people who are solitary, who are on their own, who are looking, who are crying out? They may not even have the language, but they're crying out for family. Where is the families that I can set them into? Toronto City Church, will we be that family? Will we build that family? Will we pay the price and say, okay, God, teach us to do church as family? See, it's a lot easier to show up on a Sunday and go through a nice service, be consumer-based, not be a builder, kind of watch what's happening, hang out, and then just go about our own life. It's another thing to say, no, I'm actually going to open my heart up to family, and I'm going to let God build me as being part of the family. But when we do that, there becomes a family that God says, I can start to set the solitary in families. Listen, we're not called to be solitary people who sit here on a Sunday morning. We are called to be family, to fight for connection, to fight for relationship, to fight to create a place where people can connect to God and connect to what he has for them. Somebody say, we are family. And so I love this last line I played, but revival is family. And we're called to be a revival family. That's what God's called us to. And so in this family, our faith and what we're believing for is that TCC will be a spiritual family where, number one, every person encounters God's unconditional love. Number two, every person is established in their identity. And number three, every person is equipped and engaged for their purpose. I just want to park on this for one last second. Guys, that happens in family. But every one of us has a piece to the puzzle where we come together and say, okay, we're going to do this as family. God has called us to build family. Let him do that work in your heart. That's my prayer today, my prayer for myself, my prayer for each one is, Lord, unite us as family, because it can only be by a work of the Holy Spirit. But we do have the Holy Spirit, and he is doing that work. He is building us as family. Someone just say it one last time. We are family. And so God's called us, this legacy that we're building, number one, to build family. But number two, we'll talk to you as well, because God's also called us to build a spiritual hospital. Everyone say spiritual hospital. God has called us to build a spiritual hospital. Let's read here from Luke chapter 4, 17 to 19. It says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He set to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know, I love this passage. It's actually the first recorded sermon that we see that Jesus gave. And I love it because when Jesus stepped up to speak his first sermon, what he did was he announced, and there was a number of significant pieces to this, but he stood up, he announced, I am here to see people healed. I am here to see people free. I'm here to see people restored. I am here to minister to your needs. The enemy has been running roughshod in your life. He's come, but I have come, and for this purpose, as it said in 1 John, was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And so number one, our legacy is to build family. But number two, our legacy is to build a spiritual hospital. That Toronto City Church would be a place of healing. That Toronto City Church would be a place of wholeness. That Toronto City Church would be a place that people can come in broken, wounded, bound in sin, bound in the enemy's bondage in their life, and they can come in and they can experience real love. They can experience real healing. They can experience real freedom. We are called to be a house of healing. Someone tell your neighbor, a house of healing. Let's look at another passage where Jesus talked about this. Mark 2, 13 to 17. And Jesus went out to walk near Lake Galilee, and a massive crowd gathered, so he taught them. And as he walked along, he found Levi, the son of Alphinehas, sitting at the tax booth, collecting taxes. Now pause. Let's pause right here, right now, because we need some context for this. Oftentimes we skim over these things. Levi, who Jesus was just about to call, was a tax collector. Tax collectors in that day and age were the worst of the worst. Israel had been invaded by Rome. The Roman armies and the Roman forces had brutalized them. They crucified their rebels. They took taxes off them. They did not treat them well at all. And so tax collectors were Jewish collaborators who had sided with the Romans against their own people because they were collecting taxes for the Roman people. So in other words, when we see Levi here, who ultimately had become Matthew, but when we see Levi, we are not talking just about, well, you know, we're talking about someone who was hated. I promise you, the rest of the disciples probably looked at Jesus like he is crazy. Why are you even talking to this guy? Why are you even ministering to this guy right now? What? You're asking this guy to come join us? Do you not know who he is, Jesus? Do you not know what his past is, Jesus? Do you not know all the mistakes he's made, Jesus? He's a tax collector. And yet, in the middle of all that, Jesus doesn't pay it any mind, and he says to Levi, he approached him, and he said, come follow me. He got up from his booth and began to follow Jesus. Family, part of being a hospital is when we see the Levi's in our life, when we see the Levi's who are around us, the Levi's that we bump into, we need to stop seeing them with what the mess that's going on in their lives, and we need to have the eyes of Jesus that say, you know what? You might be a tax collector right now, but I see someone who's going to write one of the Gospels. I see an apostle who's going to impact nations. I see one of the core disciples of Jesus. And so where everyone else right now sees the tax collector, Jesus had the eyes of faith to see the gold that was in Levi and to see the calling and the purpose that was in his life. And if we are going to be a spiritual hospital, we have to stop seeing Levi's and start seeing Matthew's. Stop seeing those and the people's problems and people's issues and people's challenges. We've got to peer past all those things and by the power of the Holy Spirit see what God has placed inside of people and say we are a house of healing that's going to help you get there. You know why? Because most people, their struggles, their sin, everything that's going on in their lives, like we didn't have any sin in our lives in the first place anyways, but all those people that come in, guys, that's hurt, that's wounding, that's the work of the enemy in people's hearts. And instead of judging somebody for their sin, why don't we see them healed and see them restored so they can live the way God's called them to live? See, that's being a house of healing where we don't see the Levi's, but we see the Matthews that they're going to become. Right? Listen, we got to shift our perspective in this capacity. Let's keep reading. At verse 15, later Jesus and his disciples went to have a meal with Levi. He took it up a notch. Now he didn't say, come follow me. Now he's going to eat at his house, which in biblical times was massive. It was a public statement of relationship. And among the guests in Levi's home were many tax collectors and notable sinners sharing a meal with Jesus. For there are many kinds of people who followed him. But when the religious scholars and the Pharisees found out that Jesus was keeping company and dining with sinners and tax collectors, they were indignant. Somebody say they were hot. They were not happy. And so they approached Jesus' disciples and said to him, why is it that someone like Jesus defiles himself by eating with sinners and tax collectors? Why is it that you defile yourself by letting just anybody come into your service, letting just anybody become part of the family of God? Don't you know where they've been? Don't you know what they've done? Don't you know the kind of life they live? Like we live the perfect life ourselves all the time anyways. And he said, but when Jesus overheard their complaint, he said to them, who goes to the doctor for a cure? Those who are well or those who are sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but to call those who are sinners and bring them to repentance. See, if we're going to talk about being a spiritual hospital, we need to catch this heart of Jesus and say, listen, we are not here for those who are perfect, because nobody out there is perfect anyways. But we're not there for those who are self-righteous, who think they've got it all together. We are a spiritual hospital where people who are far from God can come close to God. We are a spiritual hospital where people who are broken can be restored. We are a spiritual hospital where people who are bound in sin, struggling with sin, can come and they can find healing. The healthy don't need a doctor. It's the sick that need a doctor. But we need to be a house of healing that says, listen, this is a place you can come where you can be healed, you can be free, you can be restored. We're not going to judge you for your sin. We're not going to judge you for your struggles in your life. We're going to bring you into Jesus so that you can get connected with the doctor who's going to bring the healing in your life. We are called to be this spiritual hospital. Can you imagine with me a hospital that judged people for being sick? Right, think about this. If anyone's made a trip to the hospital recently, maybe you don't have to raise your hand and tell us all about it right now, but I don't mind going out. But you know, if we're sick, I want to go to the hospital. Or if something's wrong, you go to the hospital. Can you imagine you walk into the hospital? Everybody looks at you like, what are you doing here? Right? You get there and people are looking at like, oh, what are you doing here? And you're also just like, I am not welcome here right now at all. And like, judge you. How dare you? You're sick. How dare you come here? Don't you know this is a hospital? This is the hospital. This is a place of healing. How dare you come here and you are sick? Maybe we change it a little bit. Oh, this is the Lord's house. How dare you come here like that? Right? This is the Lord's house. How dare you come here? Dora Renata, we got a little bit of a runaway here. See, we've got a little daughter coming into the hospital, except she's totally healthy and she's good. Hey, honey. We've got a hospital where people can come if you are sick. And we say, we're not going to judge you for being sick. Guys, let's just set our hearts right now that no matter who God brings here for healing, they are never going to face judgment. They are never going to have anyone look down their nose at them. They are never going to have anyone give them cut eye, give them a side eye, give them a look. Why don't you go sit over on that side of the church, and I'll sit over on this side of the church. But that they will be welcomed with open arms, because you go to a hospital and you're sick. If the hospital knows what they're doing, they usher you in. They figure out what's going on, and they get you to the solution as quickly as they can. It may take a little while here in Canada with our emergency wait room times and everything else, but you still welcome people in, and you do everything you can to help them get better. If a hospital doesn't, if it doesn't make sense for a hospital to judge people for being sick, why do we judge sinners for sinning? Why do we have this mindset that can creep into us sometimes? Or can you imagine with me a hospital that told people, don't come here if you're sick, wait until you get better? What's the point of the hospital then? Right? And yet, how often do you hear people say, well, I can't come right now. I just got to get myself together and get my life together, and then I'll come to God. That's a little bit like saying, I'm going to get myself clean, then go in the shower. Right? It doesn't make any sense. You need the shower to get clean. You need God to turn your life around. But see, what often stops people from coming is not going to be, it's not Jesus, it's not actually God, it's religious mindsets that hold us back as Christians because we don't welcome people in. See, we want to build a hospital where anyone can come. Now, it's one thing for me to preach about this. It's another thing for us to amen this and cheer about this and snap about this and everything else in between. It's another thing when it starts to happen. Are we going to be ready? Right? Yeah, sometimes someone comes in, they're bleeding all over the place. You don't run away. You don't find, oh, let me get Pastor Jair. He'll handle this. You know, what else? You say, no, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm part of this spiritual hospital, and we're part of being healing and wholeness to people. Amen? And if it's really bad, you can go back, grab Pastor Jair as well, too, if you want to. But can you imagine a hospital that we said judge people for being sick, or a hospital that told people don't come here if you're sick, wait till you get better? Or can you imagine a hospital that didn't actually help people get better? Right, this is a bit of a gut check for us. You just go to the hospital, they look at you, they smile at you, they say, oh, you'll be okay, and they send you home. No, that's not the hospital we want to be. We want to be a hospital that actually has some solutions. We want to be the hospital that actually has some answers. We want to be the hospital where actually is healing, is manifesting, and is available. Because sometimes we can be guilty of the other. Family, I want to encourage you today. Sin is the sickness. Jesus is the cure. Who is going to join this cause together to get this cure to as many people as possible? Who's going to join together and say, we're going to be a family, we're going to be a spiritual hospital that has a cure to the sickness of sin. His name is Jesus Christ. That's who we're here to lift up. That's who we're here to magnify. That's who we're to glorify. And we want to swing the doors wide open on our church and say, all are welcome to come in and meet with Jesus. All are welcome to come in and receive from Jesus. All are welcome to come in because there's a healer in the house. His name is Jesus Christ, and whatever you're carrying, he's got the answer for that. Will we pay the price? Because here's the deal. When you are a spiritual hospital, you can't be a consumer Christian. Right? Remember last week's message? You can't be a spectator. You can't be a feed me Christian. It's like, feed me. Don't worry about him. Feed me. You can't be the armchair quarterback. Well, I just think we should do this differently. I just think we should do that. Listen, no. People need love. People need the life of God. You roll up your sleeves. You say, I'm going to be part of this. Let's be a spiritual hospital that ministers to the needs of people. Someone tell your neighbor, we're a spiritual hospital. Sin is the sickness. Jesus is the cure. Who's going to join together to get this cure to as many people as possible? One last passage to share with you. We're going to bring this to a close. Luke 5, 17 to 19. This is a story many of you will be familiar with. One day, many Jewish religious leaders, known as Pharisees, along with many religious scholars, came from every village of Galilee, throughout Judea, and even from Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. And the power of the Lord God surged through him to instantly heal. I love another translation. The power of God was present to heal. I love that one. Yeah, Mike, you can come join me. The power of God surged through him to instantly heal. So the men came to Jesus. Some men came to Jesus carrying a paraplegic man on a stretcher. They attempted to bring him in past the crowd to set him down in front of Jesus. But because there were so many people crowding the door, they had no way to bring him inside. So they crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, and lowered the man, stretcher and all, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Some things going on. What happened? They lowered him down. Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven you. The religious leaders freaked out because they're like, Jesus, you can't do that. And Jesus said, yes, I can. And to show you I can, not only say your sins are forgiven you, but I'm also going to say, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked, rolled up his mat, and everyone started rejoicing in God. But here's what I want us to catch with this. Here's what I wanted to do it. This was a good church meeting. Jesus had packed the house. How about you? I love it when church is packed. Right? I love it when church is full and people are packed together. And you know, or we lighten up a little bit coming into summer, but you know, second service is getting full. So if you want to come join me in first service, you can come join me in first service because we have, but I like it when it's packed. And so from all intents and purposes, to anyone just from outside perspective, this looks like a good church meeting. Scholars tell us it might have been Jesus' house or it may have been Peter's house. So they tore up somebody's roof. But this was a good church service. And all is good, but it was filled with Pharisees and teachers of the law who had their Bibles open and were inspecting these words that Jesus were bringing. I mean, this looked like a good situation, but here's the problem. These men come along with a man that they're trying to get to Jesus. In other words, this has gone from, it's a good church service, but they need a spiritual hospital that they can get somebody in to meet Jesus. But you know what? All these religious leaders, all these Pharisees, and we got to guard against the spirit. I'm not meaning to be critical, but religious Christianity, they were so busy enjoying their own church service, they couldn't even make room for someone who needed to get to Jesus. I mean, I was reading, why wouldn't they just get out of the way and let the man in? Right, like think about it. I come up, there's four of us, there's this man who's obviously paralyzed. Excuse me, sir, we want to get our friend to Jesus. He needs to be healed. We want to get our friend in the presence of Jesus. Could you let us in? We'll just squeeze a little bit, if you don't mind just letting us through the door. But everyone was so busy, focused on their own comfort, their own consumer Christianity. What I'm getting, I don't want to lose my seat. I don't want to lose my spot. Listen, you may love your seat that you always have in church, but if there's somebody that needs to get to Jesus, that needs that seat, you better get up and give them that seat and say, listen, have my seat. But the religious spirit, they would not even let the man in. How often is a religious mindset blocking out people who are trying to get to Jesus? May we never be those people. And I believe we're not. And I'm thankful we're not. But may we never be that church that we're so focused on doing church that we're forgetting about people who need to get to Jesus to get healed. That we forget about our call to create a house of healing, which intentionally means this is not just a house for me. It is a house for me, but it's a house for other people who need to get to Jesus too. And if I need to make room, if I need to give up my seat, if I need to drive a little extra to pick somebody up, if I need to join an extra ministry team and serve even more because we'll need to launch a third service or we need to do this or do that, whatever I've got to do, I'll do it because we got to get people to Jesus. Now, what I love about these friends is I love their spirit. They were not dissuaded one bit. They said, you know what? You won't let us in the door. Y'all are too busy having church to help someone hurt get to Jesus. We're just going to go up over you. We're going to go. We're going to climb up on the roof. We're going to tear open a hole in our sword. We're going to create a different door to get people to Jesus. Right? And may we be people who say, okay, we're going to create open doors for people to get to Jesus. How many people want to be that kind of Christian? How many people want to be that kind of church? I want to be that church that says, whatever we need to do, we are going to create the open doors to get people to Jesus. Here in Toronto City Church, we are building a spiritual hospital where sick people will get healed, where broken people will get restored, where discouraged people will get encouraged, where oppressed people will get free, where lost people get found, where lowly get lifted up, where the hungry get fed, where the blind get to see, where the lame get to walk, where marriages get transformed, where we declare war on every work of the enemy in the lives of the people. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life in abundance to the full till it overflows. And when Jesus is in the house, may we be people who say we will do whatever we can and whatever we need to get people to the feet of Jesus. Why? Because we are a house of healing. We are a house where we're believing for people to be healed, to be whole, to be restored, to be transformed, for there to be life change in people's hearts. Why? Because they've encountered Jesus. Why? Because we created houses of healing where people could connect to Jesus. Amen. How many people want to be part of something like that? I want to be part of a house of healing. Amen. Praise God. And so I want to encourage you, because here's where we're going to close this today. This is where we build. This is rubber meets the road, because it involves, this is no longer about just about me. It's no longer just about what's easiest for me or what's comfortable for me or what's convenient for me. If you are addicted to convenience, you'll never be part of a spiritual hospital. Why? Because that's inconvenient. How dare you come at 11 o'clock at night when I should be at home right now? How dare you do this? How dare you do that? If I'm all about my convenience, I'm never going to build a spiritual hospital. Right? But this is what God is building in us, but this is what we are building together. And so just from my heart, guys, who would join this? Who will be part of this? And I'm thankful for all the people already who have in some ways, but who will say, I want to be part of this spiritual hospital. I want to be part of seeing people healed and restored and their lives transformed and turned around. And we got people getting baptized, people standing on the stage testifying, talking about the goodness of the Lord in their life and the things that Jesus has done. And there's tears streaming down their face because they knew there was no hope for them. And in our hearts, we say, man, I'm so glad I got to be part of that. I'm so glad I didn't give in to this consumer Christianity mindset where it was all about me. I'm glad that I followed Jesus' example and I laid down my life, that I was someone who had a heart for the people that God had a heart for. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. And then as we talked about last week, and I'll just give a plug into this very quickly and we're going to close in prayer. But that as builders, we give. This is what I'm asking us to give to. This is what I'm asking you to sow into. I'm asking you to sow in to family. I'm asking you to sow into healing. I'm asking you to sow in being a spiritual hospital. And you know, I love this church family and I love the generosity. There's so many people that give so much. And I'm so cognizant of that. I'm so thankful for that. But I'm challenging us, can we stretch even more? Can we stretch even more? And all of us seek the Lord, and even for this legacy offering in 2 weeks, hear from God and just say, okay, God, what are you telling me to do? But let me stretch myself, because this is worth it. Every person matters. Every person has a part to play. I was laughing about my wife. You know, she loves her. It was a Chicago Med Show or whatever it is. You know, it's the hospital emergency room and all this stuff's going on. But, you know, you get in there, and everyone has a part to play. Someone sick comes in. It's like, okay, I need a doctor. I need a nurse. Everyone has their role that they're playing. And they have a part to play in what's happening. You have a part to play. You may not even believe it really right now. You might be listening to me and you're like, I don't even know. No, I want you to know today, you've got a part to play. You've got an important piece to the puzzle. You are part of what God is doing here. There's people that God is going to send that you are going to be the instrument of the Lord to help bring healing in their lives. They need so, God needs every man on board, every woman on board, every one of us part of what God is building here. Amen? And so you are part of it. I'm part of it. Let's do it together. And in 2 weeks, we have an opportunity to just stand in faith, even with this legacy offering. And so I call on you. Let's stretch ourselves. Pastor Sharon and I are going to stretch ourselves. But let's stretch ourselves. Let's do this together. Amen? And so let's bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to close this thing down. And I just want to ask really simply, if your heart is saying, I want to join you, Pastor Brendan, in just what God is saying here. I want to join you in building family. I want to join you, especially in this element of spiritual hospital, because this is kind of a newer concept we're starting to talk about, introduce. But you're like, I want to be part of what God is building. I want to be a builder. I want to build family. I want to build spiritual hospital. If that's you, just raise your hands, Lord, wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you for a second. So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Our hands are raised all across this place. We want to build family. We want to build spiritual hospital. We acknowledge freely our insufficiency. We acknowledge freely how far we have to go, God, but we also thank you that while we are insufficient, you are the all-sufficient one. And Lord, so we just receive grace today as family. We receive grace today to build a spiritual hospital. God, help us when we see Levi's to see Matthew's. God, when we see Levi's to see writers of the gospel and apostles who take the gospel to nations. God, open our eyes in a fresh way. And God, may we never judge any sinner for sinning, God. Lord, help us to remember what we used to be and what we used to do. And God, if it wasn't for you, where we would be right now. And God, that we would then turn that grace to others. And we would have hope for every person. We'd have expectation for what you want to do in every person's life. And we thank you for all this. And God, just speak to us, even as legacy offerings coming up. God, that we would just have a supernatural offering, a supernatural outpouring of generosity, God. Because if we're going to be a spiritual hospital, we better believe we're going to need to be generous. And God, it's going to cost us everything, and it's going to be worth it 1,000 times over. And so we thank you for this in Jesus' name.